Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered round him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Thanks be to God. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your holy word. Thank you that your word is eternal, that it's, Lord, it's life-giving, it's life-changing, it's infallible, and it's powerful. Lord, we pray that your word might be displayed this morning amongst us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, we all love a good story. We love to tell stories, and we love to hear stories. We even like to tell the same story over and over again. If you're around me long enough, it's likely you'll hear the same story of how I came to the Lord through reading a Gideon's Bible in a hotel in Scotland. Stories are a part of who we are. This morning we're looking at one of the best known stories ever told, the parable of the sower. And we know it's an important story because it's repeated three times. Once in Matthew 13, once in Mark 4, and once in Luke 8. Even though this story doesn't contain one word of theology or one quote from the Torah, the law, or any prophetic judgments, or even an ounce of controversy, yet amazingly, through this story, Jesus is able to expose the hearts of his listeners. But before we begin, I want to start where any good doctor would start, by taking your spiritual temperature. I have a method that is absolutely accurate. And by the time we are finished, you will know exactly what your spiritual temperature is. I'm going to put the thermometer right in now, and we'll shortly take a reading. Before the morning is finished, you'll have a good idea if you're 100% healthy or if you're running a spiritual temperature. The parable of the sower really is an extraordinary story, for not only is it designed to take your spiritual temperature, but it reveals some of the greatest truths about the heart. In this story, the seed is the word of God, and the soil is the heart of the one who hears the word. The four kinds of soil represent four different conditions of the human heart. And so a farmer goes out to sow his seed, to sow the word of God. The four different soils where the seed is sown have the same farmer, the same seed, the same growing season, the same rainfall, and so on. But only one soil, one heart, produced an abundant harvest. Only one made it to the end and was carried home by the farmer. In other words, what happens to the word of God when planted in our hearts is the most critical event that we will ever face in life, because everything concerning our salvation, the kingdom of God, the direction of our life, and our relationship with God depends on it. What words will take root and grow in our hearts? Not only are the seeds of God's word being sown, but the devil is also sowing the seeds of his words. Seeds are being sown daily in our hearts, and our spiritual health is directly related to the seeds that we have nourished and allowed to grow. So what does your harvest look like? Some may hear the gospel message in a sermon or in a testimony. Some may hear it through the media. Some read it in books and magazine articles. Some hear it from a friend. All who hear basically receive the same gospel message, yet they respond in different ways, depending on whether they allow that message, that seed, to grow and flourish in the soil of their hearts. This reminds me of a true story when the Gideons visited a school to speak about their work and the Bible and to give out New Testaments at morning assembly. On this occasion, nearly everyone received their New Testament politely, if not enthusiastically, but one boy didn't. He rushed outside to get rid of it. Throwing his New Testament up in the air, it landed on the school roof. It just so happened that the school's caretaker was up on the roof doing some repair work, and the New Testament landed just a few feet from where he was working. He picked it up and started to read the scriptures, and as a result, he became a Christian. So why is it when two people receive the same gospel message, they can react so differently? Why is one person moved to tears by the gospel and another cold and distant? Why is one transformed while the other is barely ruffled? Why do some turn from sin and others continue to be indifferent and impervious to their situation? Quite a number of us here this morning have been coming to River of Life for many years and have heard hundreds of sermons. I've been coming to River of Life for only 4 years, and I've probably heard around 170 sermons. Whether we are new or old to this church, all of us have spent time listening to the seeds of the gospel that have been so liberally sown amongst us. But how many of those seeds have taken root? How many have withered through lack of moisture? How many have been choked by thorns? How many have borne fruit that multiplied 30, 60, or even 100 times? This parable is not simply about coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus. It's also a message for Christians, no matter how experienced we are. The challenge to all of us today is, will we take responsibility for our response to the Word of God that is fed to us, that is planted in us? God wants us to take responsibility for the way in which we respond to the Word of God, because our response will impact our present and eternal destiny and well-being. I believe God wants us to look at these four different soils to see what kind of soil we are, what kind of heart we have, and how we respond to God's Word. And so the Word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, is planted out into the world, not necessarily where it will have most impact, but rather where it is needed. And when the Word of God is planted, some of it lands on a hard path. The fields in Israel were often narrow and divided by paths, which over the years have been trodden down by the feet of those who use them. These paths had become as hard as stone, and when the seed fell along the path, it just lay there unable to take root or germinate. And so the birds flew in and ate up the seed. In the same way, some people are so hardened that there is no place in their heart where the Word can penetrate and take root. These people are so resistant to what God has to say that they won't give it a second thought. And I call this kind of person hard-hearted. These people are like the hard path. Their hearts are unreceptive to the Word. They have said no to the Lord Jesus and to the seed of his Word. They are hard-hearted and unsaved. The late David Wilkerson, who was the founding pastor of Times Square Church in New York, recalled how a particular young man attended his church for 2 years. He was homeless, and the congregation adopted him. Almost everyone shared the gospel with him. Loving people gave him money and took him out for meals. Jesus Christ was made very plain to him. That young man came to the altar at least twice, both times standing there with his hands folded and with a devilish grin on his face. David Wilkerson often saw him asleep through the sermons, yet David would pray that at least one message would pierce the trodden down soil of his heart. But it never happened. Eventually, the man became so disruptive that he had to be banned from the church. No person in New York heard more of the gospel. No one received so much love. No one was more prayed for. But he had hardened his heart and shut his ears. Some people are such hard ground because they have life figured out. They already know what they know, and so they aren't open to anyone pointing them in another direction. They conclude that the gospel is irrelevant, that it doesn't work. They don't want to hear, They have trained themselves to tune God out of the situation. When the soil of the heart is hardened, Satan, like the birds, swoops down and steals the seed before it has any chance of establishing itself. And so for some, the word of God is snatched away before it takes effect. The first soil represents those people who do not respond to the word at all. If they hear it, it goes in one ear and out the other. Unfortunately, there are many people who fit into this first category. They have heard the word over and over again. They know the gospel. Some can even quote verses and sing the songs, but they have never believed for themselves. Their response is one of rejection, because they are impenetrable, stiff-necked, Christ-rejecting hard ground. In other words, they have a hard heart. The second type of soil Jesus taught about was the rocky soil. At first glance, some fields can look like deep, rich, fertile farmland. But under the surface, things are very different because there's rock. When the rain falls, the seed just seems to spring to life. It germinates quicker, but it doesn't last. As soon as the hot midday sun starts to hit it, it starts to wither. Because the soil is shallow, the plant can't get a root hold, and so it withers and dies. In the same way, when some people hear the word, they receive it with enthusiasm. It's fantastic. It's what they've been waiting to hear for so long. It meets their needs at that time, but their faith is shallow, and so their enthusiasm is short-lived. Jesus says these people have no real root. They never try to make a good foundation. They never get deep into the word, and the word never gets deep into them. Instead of soil, their hearts are filled with prejudice, cowardice, fear, pride, insecurity, and bitterness. These hard rocks within their hearts block out the word. And when trouble comes, the novelty wears off and they drift away. For a while, these people thought they had a conversion experience. Then one day, their new faith is put to the test and they quickly fall away. Their faith was superficial and shallow, with no proper root, and in effect, they are shallow-hearted, counterfeit Christians. During the 1970s, the former Beatle John Lennon was living in virtual seclusion. During that time, he became an avid TV viewer of well-known evangelists such as Billy Graham and Pat Robertson. At some point, he had an experience that he thought was a conversion to the Christian faith. During those few months, people say he peppered his conversation with phrases like "Praise the Lord" and "Thank you, Jesus." John's wife, Yoko Ono, was upset with John's newfound interest in the Christian faith. As he began to experience the displeasure of his wife, he left behind his interest in Christ. It would seem that John's heart was shallow soil, so his response to God's word was shallow and temporary. If anyone loses their fire and enthusiasm for the Lord, it could be that they have a shallow heart. Now, the third soil is the most dangerous of all, for it is the one where many people get snared. This third soil is the thorny soil, and according to Jesus, the thorns are the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for
for other things. Whereas the second soil was caught up in sin, the third soil is not necessarily doing anything sinful. But the problem is weed, because crops don't compete well with weeds, and thorns are perhaps the worst kind of weed. They can be prolific, for their seed is carried by the wind, and so they pop up where you least expect them. And they're vigorous, and they choke the crop. Their root system is extensive, and they starve the crop of valuable water and nutrients. Some people's hearts are like soil that has weeds in it. We hear and receive the word, but there are things that are like thorns in our life, that choke us and starve us, that cripple our relationship with God and prevent us from having fruitful lives. If the devil can't get us in other ways, he will use the world to choke us, to strangle us, where he uses the things which can distract us, such as the worries, wealth, and desires of this life. When we fall into this thorny trap, we find that we are living for this life instead of the life to come. And before we know it, we are choked with weed. And in effect, we come like someone with a strangled heart. Some people are fence sitters. When they hear the word, they say, yes, but. Maybe they mean business, but they never pull the weeds out of their life. One of the weeds Jesus mentioned is the worries of this life. This isn't hard to understand, because it refers to any consuming concern in your life that catches all your attention. It could be something that in itself is not bad, such as a genuine concern for your job or your health or your financial situation. It could be a relationship that takes up all your waking moments. Even so, the worry of this world is whenever we get so concerned about our own lives, our own dreams, our own ambitions, that we block everything and everybody out of our lives, including God and his word. Those things that consume us may not in themselves be bad, but when they become so big that they drive out all else, they become weeds within our heart. And unless we pull them out, they will strangle our heart and make us unfruitful. Along with worries, Jesus also included deceitfulness of wealth and the desire of other things. The problems of greed can also keep us tethered to this world instead of trusting and obeying God. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We thought about the hard heart, the shallow heart, and now the strangled heart. But there's one last person that Jesus talks about, and this is a person with a receptive heart. Someone who simply hears the word of God and says, yes. No hesitation, no dithering, no excuses. In Luke 8, verse 15, Jesus says, these people have a noble and good heart, meaning that their motives are not mixed with the rocks of a bad attitude or the thorns of worry or greed. What do you see when you look at a Christian with a receptive heart? You see fruit. Fruit is what plants are supposed to produce. Fruit makes plants profitable to their owners. Fruit makes plants attractive to others. The mark of a mature Christian is that it produces an abundance of spiritual fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This fourth soil is what God wants all of us to become. But none of us can become this way automatically or instantly. It takes hard work and patience. Jesus says that the two main ingredients of this kind of soil is that it hears the word and keeps it. If you are not hearing the word, you will never bear fruit. If you are not feeding daily on scripture and listening to biblically based sermons as often as you can, and attending Bible studies, and then living out what God teaches you from his word, you will never produce an abundant harvest. Hearing the word of God taught or preached is like eating an appetizer. Once you hear a sermon, no matter how much you liked it or enjoyed it, all you got was an appetizer. The full meal comes when you take the word you have heard and process it, digest it, and put it to use in your daily life. When we hear God's word, we are hearing it in a way that is not yet developed. In order for the seed of God's word to become developed, there must be a growth process, and we cannot achieve spiritual maturity without going through the process. Some of us in our school days may have planted seeds in a tray so our teacher could demonstrate the growth process of a plant. I remember at school putting watercress seeds on damp blotting paper. Yes, we would rush to see the seeds the next day, hoping they would have fully grown overnight. And it was hard to be patient, to wait for the seeds to take root and grow. Too many Christians are like that in their spiritual lives. They want the instant blessing of the seed without having to go through the process of development. People who look for instant maturity will be disappointed when their seeds don't sprout overnight. The wonderful thing is, God continues to throw seed at us. He pours out his love on us relentlessly. And when he finds even the smallest patch of good soil in our hearts, he nurtures the kingdom within us so a harvest can be produced. A story can be very powerful, especially the parable of the sower. And when the disciples are at last on their own, away from the crowd, Jesus reveals the purpose of parables. Jesus explains that their purpose is to make a clear distinction between those who are inside and those who are outside of the kingdom of God. For those on the inside, those with receptive hearts, they are given the secrets of the kingdom of God. In other words, God reveals his family secrets to those whose hearts are open to him. But to those on the outside, Jesus quotes from Isaiah 6, verse 9, that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. What Jesus says here might seem harsh, but we have to remember that the Jewish people had the great privilege of the oracles of God and the prophets of God and the priests of God, and in spite of this, they had rejected the Messiah of God who had come to them in the Lord Jesus. And because they had rejected the light of the world, Jesus, in effect, says that they will not see the light of the word. Here we are basically talking about the unpardonable sin, the hardening of heart to everything that God's Spirit had been saying to them up until this moment, and they had gone one step too far. So when the heart is hard, when it is unresponsive, not receiving, not wanting, it gets harder and the seed is snatched away. But when the heart is open, it receives not only what God is saying, but receives more and more and more light. Perhaps we can now see that a parable has two effects, and they are both opposite effects. On the one hand, it makes truth clearer to those who are willing to hear, and yet on the other side of the coin, it makes truth more obscure to those who lack spiritual concern, whose hearts are unresponsive. And now, may I ask you, how do you receive God's word? Are you allowing the word of God to penetrate, to get inside? Are you allowing it to go down and take root? Are you responding and allowing it to grow up and produce spiritual food? My little spiritual health check is complete. Let's take the thermometer out and take a reading. Jesus said there would be four basic responses to his word. Everybody fits into one of these categories. You either have a hard heart, a shallow heart, a strangled heart, or a receptive heart. Which are you? Suppose I were to walk up this central aisle and ask each of you to stand and tell this congregation very honestly, what kind of heart do you have today? What would you say? Hard? Shallow? Strangled? Receptive? But there is good news. For no matter what your spiritual health check reveals, you don't have to stay the way you are. No one need remain with a hard heart, a shallow heart, or a strangled heart. After all, what does a farmer do with unproductive soil? He ploughs it up, throws out the rocks, pulls up the weeds, waters the ground, and plants again. God farms the human heart like that. He is calling you this morning to clear away all the junk so that he can bring his fruit into your life. Jeremiah 4 verse 3 says, "Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns." Your part is to take the first step to clean out your heart so the Holy Spirit can do his work within. So how about your heart? Is it filled with rocks, clogged with thorns, or is it simply hard? Are you willing for Jesus Christ to plough up the unproductive soil so that he might produce a bumper crop in your life? Will you be a good soil and produce a mighty harvest, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, to the glory of God? If the answer is yes, then tell him so right now. Thanks be to God. Amen.